Good morning. Yejin, thank you very, very much for your wonderful contribution of music in our prelude this morning. To all of you, I congratulate you. After last Sunday's service, you will, of course, as I'm sure everybody knows, have called a new pastor who will begin in January, and I want to take I am taking this opportunity to express my excitement and my hopes for you and the congregation as you enter a brand new time and era together in the life of this congregation. Congratulations. We do have announcements, at least I am certain we do. I have not yet heard anybody who said they had one, but I trust there is always, and I'm going to open it to you. But before I do that, let me welcome all of our other visitors. We do have a number here, and we welcome you. And if you're not familiar with what happens after worship service, I'm going to tell you that right now so you can be part of it. We have time for coffee, beverages, food, and most importantly, good conversation. It all happens in that room to my right. So when you see people leaving that way instead of that way, that's where they're going. Please join us. It's a wonderful time to enjoy each other. And now, I understand, I see Alice has an announcement.
Well, as amazing as it may seem, only a week from now is the Holly Fair. It's December 1, which is the earliest it can possibly be, and I hope you're all psyched for it because Service League has been working hard all year, as you know, on this. But what I want to bring to your attention today is the fact that in the past, we have offered our wreaths and our kissing balls the day of the fair, but lately they have been building up in popularity, and we discovered last year that so many of the community had ordered ahead of time that we actually ran out of wreaths for some of our members. So this year, for the first time ever, we are offering our members a chance to sign up ahead of time. I will leave the ordering form for our decorated wreaths and our big kissing balls that are becoming more popular, so that if you order ahead of time, we can have it ready for you on the day of the fair. They are large, balsam evergreen wreaths that are decorated, and I just happened to look in L.L. Bean. They get $55 for them. Ours is bargain price at $25. Our kissing balls are $22, and they will last until you're sick of them and throw them away. So if you're interested, they'll be available afterwards, and be sure to put December 1 on your calendar. And by the way, if some of you still like to bake, our bake sale is one of our most popular. So I'm sure you will be contacted, but save December 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice. Others? Lois? Thank you. Tracy? Terry?
I'm Terry Wise from the Board of Mission in Action. This is a very busy time for Mission in Action, and so I just wanted to report in what we're doing and what we might ask you to help us with. First of all, this week we purchased and delivered 12 turkeys to the People's Pantry for them to distribute, among others, to the families that they serve. A lot of people have been bringing in items that we've been collecting for a family that lost their apartment to a fire in Housatonic not too long ago. And we've been assisting the Housatonic Congregational Church in providing necessary items for one of the four families that lost their homes. Right now, we have a lot of household items. Until they actually get moved in and figure out exactly, specifically, what more they need, I would hold off on that. But we are still looking for an extra large women's coat or jacket, winter weight coat or jacket, a 4XL men's jacket, and an extra large men's jacket for the teenage son. So if anyone has one of those or know of someone that has a jacket to spare, just bring it into the Sunday school room at the back, and I'll make sure it gets delivered. Also, the Hurricane Sandy relief has been on everyone's mind, I'm sure, and we've been trying to figure out exactly what part we can play in that. The Church World Service and United Church of Christ has put out a call for their emergency cleanup buckets, which they store until they're needed, and they have completely exhausted their supply. So they're asking all UCC congregations to provide some buckets, and they are going to collect them and deliver them to the storage area to be distributed. This is a really rush thing because they're actually going to be picking them up from Lee on November 30th. So I think what we will end up doing with the help of Service League, we're going to try to assemble as many buckets as we can ourselves. But if you would like to make a donation toward that cause, that would help us defray the cost of the shopping for the items that go in the buckets. If you would like to leave a check in the name of the church, please put in the memo line Hurricane Sandy Relief. And if there's any extra, we would just contribute it to the UCC fund. The UCC has a very active and comprehensive crisis relief operation, and they have been on the ground helping with the relief, hurricane relief. If you are interested in looking into further ways of helping directly with the East Coast cleanup, the Riverside Church in New York City is actively involved in helping in the worst hit neighborhoods. And they're a large enough church that they do have an entire staff person dedicated to this. And so you can look them up online, Riverside Church in New York. They could certainly use our help. Last but not least, our Christmas tree will be up next Sunday with tags on it that you can take for shopping for gifts for South County families, children, and parents who are not able to provide nice gifts for their family members. So we'll ask you to wrap those gifts and put the tag back on the outside and return them by December 16th. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Terry. Any others? Thank you for your sharing. There is a great deal going on in the life of this congregation, as all can tell, and that is the sign of good life. Now we prepare ourselves for worship with our call, and I invite you to prepare.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. This is God's world, and God is present as the transforming power within all creation. We are God's people, called to be peace, to bring justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God in the midst of earthly struggle and strife.
We are God's people, called to trust that what God has begun, God will bring to completion, both in us and in the world.
Let us give thanks for God's faithfulness. Let us worship God. Creator and creating God, we praise you that your hands are still shaping your creation according to divine intent. In the chaos of our lives, you touch us with moments of peace, assuring us of your nearness. When our eyes are clouded by evidences of despair, decline, and decay on our planet, you hold before us in Christ a vision of hope for a new world yet to come. Bring us to certitude of faith in you, in your active presence, your loving promises, and your omnipotent power. Turn our eyes towards Jesus and our hearts to thanksgiving, we pray. Amen. The first hymn is number 361 in your pew hymnal, How Firm a Foundation. Please stand. The epistle reading this morning is from Hebrews 10, 11 through 25. It's found on page 1049 in your pew Bible. And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds," he also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So ends the reading.
The children are invited to come and be with me in the front of the sanctuary. Please join me. Good morning. How are you two? Good, good. I'm glad to hear all that. Well, but we're here. Isn't that important, Seth? You betcha. Well, maybe next week there will be. You know, some days there are. Maybe there will be thousands. That's good. I like that. You can pay them to come. Well, that's one way of doing it. I have a question for you. I want to know what's the biggest building that you know of?
The one in New York City.
The one in New York City. There are some pretty big buildings in New York City. There are.
Eiffel Tower,
that's pretty big. Huh?
You can think.
Yeah, they have an elevator in it. You bet you they do. Well, I'm going to tell you what is, I think, the biggest building in the world. Tell me how big the biggest airplane is. Pretty big, right? You know that there is a building, you know what a 747 is? That's a big airplane, right? You betcha. There is a building where they make them out in Washington State that they can put lots and lots of 747s in where they make them. And it's supposed to be the biggest building in the world. Isn't that something? I bet you'd like to see that, wouldn't you? Yeah, I would too. I've never seen the inside of it. Yeah. Well, there was another building that was built a long time ago. Do you know where New Mexico is?
I do.
Do you? Okay. New Mexico is way near California, between California and Texas, okay? And there were cliffs, and it's a dry place. Texas is bigger. There were dry cliffs, because it's a desert out there. And the people who lived there built a building, and it was huge. Now, we don't know the name of the people that lived there, but they were here a long time before any people from Europe ever came. And they built a building that had 650 rooms in it. Can you believe that? That's huge, 650. And then something happened about 700 years ago. And what happened is the weather changed. And all those people who were living there, they couldn't get enough water, they couldn't get enough food, and so they left. And they left the building, that 650-room building. And it's called Pueblo Bonito. That's Spanish. That's Spanish for pretty building, a wonderful building, and a house. Bonito. Pueblo means house. Bonito means pretty. Pretty house. So they disappeared, and the building kind of started to crumble. It started to fall apart. But there's still parts of it there that could be seen, and the people who are descendants who still live there, the Native Americans, say that it's okay for a building to go back to dust, to where it came from. It's okay. That's natural. Well, the same thing happened over in Jerusalem, that Jesus was up on this big temple mount. That means kind of like a foundation where you build this huge building. And the temple itself was the biggest building in the world at that time. It was one of the wonders of the world. The stones that held it together, some of them were as big, you know, you could fit one or two that would make equal the size of that wall back there. That's how big the stones were.
And it went way up in the air, and it went way out, long way, in both all directions. And Jesus' people, the disciples, they said, oh, look at that. Isn't that spectacular? And Jesus said, someday it's going to fall. Can you imagine that? Someday it's going to fall. And he said, but do you know, there's something that is not going to fall. There's only one thing in this world that will never fall. Do you have any idea what it is? Very close. Your heart, he said. That'll go too. But here's what will last forever. It's God's love. God says, I will never stop loving. And I will love this world and everything on it. That means you, me, and everybody out there forever. And that's the one thing you can count on that will go on forever. And even if you die, God will never stop loving. Not you, not me, or anything else. Well, I guess we'll have to work on that one. So, okay, let's have the Lord's Prayer. And, well, we can do it. We have more than three people out there. They're going to join in. So we're going to start by sitting with our Maker. Let's hold hands. I invite all of you to join. Okay. Our Maker, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed to go to godly play through those doors. Thank you for being here.
In the play Zorba the Greek, Zorba is probably the most exuberant figure to burst upon the literary scene at that time. In trying to explain his zest for life, Zorba says, "My joys here are great because they are very simple and spring from the everlasting elements, the pure air, the sun, the sea, and the wheat on loaf, the basic, simple things." The Christian call is to enjoy the basic, simple things. But we have an additional call, and that call is to give in a way that will also help others to enjoy the same basic gifts. I invite the ushers to be among us this morning for a collection of our offerings.
Thank you.
God, we present these gifts to you, to the church, and to the people that the church serves. We ask your blessings upon all the gifts that are given in representing the lives of the people who are here today. But God, we also know that there are more gifts than these that the people among us are giving. They are giving of their lives, their care that go beyond these walls, that are touching the lives of others every day. We ask for your blessings also upon those gifts. And we present them all to our through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
The gospel reading for today is being taken from Mark. It is the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8, and that is on page 881 of the Pew Bible. Hear these words. As he came out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left there upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of all the things that are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." That ends the reading of the scripture for this Sunday morning. May the words of my mouth Well, I missed you after a week, and I am, of course, glad to be here again. Being in the pastoral ministry for such a long time, and especially writing sermons and preparing sermons for so many years, that I have found myself in the habit of clipping things out of either magazines or underlining something in a book, clipping out newspaper articles that I think someday I might find useful in a sermon. This past week, I was going through my old files, and I found something that I clipped out about 11 years ago that I never used. I thought, aha, I think I'm going to do it today. And here is what I found. It was an obituary. And it was printed in the Washington Times in the year 2001. It was a big headline, unlike most obituaries, and the headline read this: "Preston Williams dies at 107, drove horse-drawn trolley." Preston Williams was born in 1894. His father wanted him to stay on the farm in Virginia and be a farmer, as had been the tradition in the family for generations. But Preston wanted to try something larger. He wanted life to be bigger than being on the farm, so he moved to Washington, D.C., and he became the conductor on a trolley car with the Capital Transit Company, which is long ago gone. He said that it took 90 minutes to drive from 36th Street in Georgetown to the Capitol. Now, if any of you are familiar with Washington, D.C., you know that that is about a 15 to 20 minute drive if you don't run into a political caravan somewhere along the way, which always slow things down. He said the biggest social improvement that he had noticed in his years of life was this: paved roads. Preston admired new technology. It was something that captured his imagination, certainly his attention. He was particularly fond of the stealth jet. He liked that, the jet fighter. But then when he was asked about it, he acknowledged that the stealth jet fighter excited him just as much as he was excited on the day when he heard the news that the Wright brothers had experimented with flight in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina in 1903. When he turned 100, he got his first library card. The reason he got his library card was he heard he could borrow videos. And finally, he said he wanted his body to be donated to science. So, and I quote, "Somebody might want to find out why I never died," unquote. Sometimes you find jewels just by reading the newspaper. The memories of years gone by are cherished by everybody. We all remember the youth, or the world of our youth. We all remember the fondness, the playing, the children, the people we spent our years with. We all remember those times. We all remember the idyllic world of Norman Rockwell and all the things that he painted. You know, the fishing on a hot summer day, the swimming hole when fishing wasn't any good, Christmas and the spectacular beauty of that time of year, and playing in the snow, to mention just a few. Perhaps another way of saying that is that we tend to recall with great fondness and heartwarming memories our grandfather's world. We remember our grandfather's world. We cherish those memories. But unfortunately, our grandfather's world no longer exists. The gospel story read today has Jesus talking about a very similar time. His disciples were admiring the spectacular grandeur, the beauty, all that went into the temple. And they knew that it was magnificent and that generations before them put their heart, their soul, their sweat, their entire lives into building it, to creating it, to making it into something that would become a wonder of the world. They were looking at that and they turned to Jesus and say to him, "Wow, what do you think? Jesus, isn't that incredible? Look at that work. It was the temple of our grandfathers. And now it's our temple, and in the future, it's going to be their temple. Isn't it wonderful, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "They're stones. They're nothing more than stones. And stones, like everything else, they're going to fall. They're going to come down someday." But, you know, this kind of intrigued the disciples a little bit. And four of the disciples wanted to know more about that time when those stones were going to come down. And they wanted to know, when is going to be the end of time? And Jesus tells them, says, you know, there are going to be some terrible events that are going to happen in this world. Some you can't imagine. But there are going to be terrible events. There are going to be wars, and there are going to be frightening things that happen around you. There are going to be earthquakes in a variety of places in this world. And there are going to be famines. Yes, people are going to go hungry, and they're probably going to die because of that. But then he concludes it all by saying something that cannot be missed. He says, this is the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, I am going to admit of something that I, as a preacher, am terribly, terribly guilty of. I am guilty of avoiding apocalyptic issues in the church and from the pulpit. In many church congregations, the end of times is the central focus of their theology. It's the central focus of everything they preach and talk about, the end of times. Now, the word apocalyptic is commonly used to describe the end of time, when God just puts an end to everything. The word apocalyptic has been terribly, terribly defined. It has been defined with a frightening edge to it, but it is a Greek word, and the real definition of apocalyptic in the Greek usage of it is to uncover, to unveil. It doesn't mean the end. Apocalypse is not about ending, it is about the beginning. Apocalyptic visions generate fear, but in this passage, Jesus did not generate any fear at all. Instead, he was stimulating excitement. When the disciples were concerned about the end of time, Jesus turned it right around, as he does everything. Everything you read about him, he's turning everything inside out and upside down. And he says, yes, there are going to be terrible things that happen before God's new world begins. But God will have a new beginning. What Jesus spoke of is the same thing as many of us struggle with in the visions of years gone by. He was saying it is not going to be your grandfather's world. In a world that you now understand and can be tolerated with and dealt with, it is not going to be that world. The beginning Jesus spoke of is one where the old temple is destroyed and is replaced with a new temple called eternal love. It is the end of our grandfather's world and the beginning of God's world. It is not to be feared. It is to be an unfolding of a world as God would have the world to be. C.S. Lewis once said that most of us Christians are too easily pleased. We hold on to the familiar and we rail at the unfolding of the new. We hold on tight to what we have and what we know, and we resist the unfamiliar. If there is doubt about that, then all one needs to do is to look at recent times. To look, and I am not trying to make a political statement in this, what I'm about to say. What I am interested in doing is making a statement about human character. People fear what they don't know. People fear the possibility of new things that are not common. And I think that's what has happened in much of our country during this most recent election. The fear of things being different. The story is told of a member of a congregation. Now, this man was very, very successful. He was successful at being a banker throughout his lifetime. One day, he went to work, and he was unceremoniously fired. Now, if any of you have ever been fired, you know how difficult that is to deal with. It affects many parts of our living and our life and who we are. A couple members of the bank board came in and simply told him to clean out his desk and leave. Now, the person telling the story said he found him, that man, the next day, and he was lying on his sofa in a living room, and he was staring at the ceiling, depressed. Terribly, terribly depressed. The fired banker said these words, "That bank was my life, my whole life. I left home every day at 6:30 in the morning. It was my whole life. So now it's gone, and my life is gone." Well, a few months later, the two men saw each other again, but this time the fired banker looked different. He actually looked improved. He was asked how he was getting along, and he responded with these words. He said, "I didn't have the guts to quit, so the bank did it for me. I should have done it 20 years ago. I'm better off now. I gave more to the bank than I should have." Jesus talked about calamities, and he said, "This is but the beginning, not of horrors, though it may appear that way to you at first. This is the beginning of something great. It's the beginning of the world the way God wants it." Going back to my previous statement about politics, that I think every one of us knows that it was a divisive election for the president. But our nation is not torn apart for the first time in its history. Our nation was torn apart when Abraham Lincoln said our nation needed to change, and by that he meant people need to be set free. Our nation was torn apart when Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "Our nation must change and people must be fed." Our nation is torn apart when Barack Obama says, "Our nation must change and people must have health care." There is always resistance to the familiar, but it's not our grandfather's world, and people are afraid. God is taking this world to a new place, and there is only one acceptable response to the calamities that we view, and the response is this: we are expected to be, and we must be, and we certainly can be, faithful. Be faithful. We must be faithful to who we claim to be. I'll give you some examples of it. Francis of Assisi was asked one day what he would do if he knew that he was going to die at the end of that very day. His response was, "I would finish hoeing my garden." Martin Luther responded to a very similar question when he said, "I would plant a tree." I believe that's all that Jesus was telling his disciples on the day at the temple. Even when stones of this place are falling down, even when it looks awful, remain faithful. Feed the hungry. Give shelter to those who are cold. Clothe the naked. Heal the sick. Attend to each other and be faithful to the ways of love as you and I have been and continue to be loved. Don't be fearful about the end, for God does not plan to end it. God plans to create it in a new, beautiful, and spectacular way. Jesus said of that day, he said, I will come again, and I will gather the faithful to me. Those who continued to be faithful to what we have said we are. Frederick Buechner wrote this about the Bible's central plot, and I agree with him. Quote, the Bible is held together by having a single plot. It is one that can be stated simply. It is this: God creates the world. The world gets lost. God seeks to restore the world to the glory for which God created it. The theme. That's the theme for the whole Bible, for us, and for the future. What is being asked of us is the same as Jesus asked of his disciples. Don't cling to your grandfather's world, even though you find pleasure in remembering it. Don't cling to your grandfather's world. Don't be afraid of what unfolds around you. Instead, be faithful in your living. Do the courageous acts of love, and because you are faithful, one day I will come and gather you to myself. Now, in a month and a half, I'm going to say goodbye to all of you, and you're going to say goodbye to me. And I need to tell you that I'm not looking forward to that. I am not, because I have found something that I truly enjoy, people that I love. And even as I said, it's bringing some tears to my eyes. It's going to be the end of my time here in this responsibility with you. And that brings some fear. Anxiety, maybe even a little depression. But Brent's coming. Brent is going to be here, and there is going to be a newness. There is going to be a new life, a new direction, new energies, new ministries. There's going to be newness, and you're going to be going off on a brand new journey. It's not that something is destroyed. It's something new is being created, something new and good. And I think that's the message of this passage today. Preston Williams stood a trim 5 feet 8 inches tall. He remained a robust figure until his death. Unsolicited, he shoveled widows' walks during the snowy season, and he mowed neighbors' lawns while they were away. A skilled handyman, he did volunteer work for the Lions Club, collecting, restoring, and distributing wheelchairs. Perhaps that's the model for not living in our grandfather's world. Most certainly, it is a model for faithful living. Thank you, Preston. You helped make this a little bit clear. We must live today preparing for tomorrow and not in our grandfather's world. Amen. Our next hymn is being sung from page 379. The title is My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. I invite you to stand if you're able.
is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweet frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness fails his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. To stand before the throne of Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you. Please be seated. We are about to enter a time of prayer, and that includes, in our personal prayers, the joys and the concerns that others around us are about to share. If you have a joy or a concern and would like us to know about it and have it in our prayer, you're invited to speak it aloud. And I will begin by asking for our prayers for Rudy and Mary Holtzel. They are in New York, and Rudy is in treatment for his cancer. So I ask you to be with them during this day. I invite others to share.
I want to pray for the people in Israel and the Gaza Strip.
Yes, for the people in Israel and Gaza. She's back there somewhere.
We're going
to
keep her.
No, you can't keep her. Thank you. Jane. I'm sorry. Could you say it again? I cannot hear. Wow. That is an important and sometimes, I'm afraid, thankless job, but absolutely. Others? Okay. I'm going to now invite you to be in a time of silence, to offer your prayers as you need to and as you can include others. But as you do it, please remember that we are doing this together. We are a congregation in a prayerful way together. Please offer your prayer. loving and eternal God, we know that you listen carefully to every utterance, both spoken and unspoken. We know you understand us more completely than we can ever hope to understand ourselves. You are our creator. You are the one who has breathed life into us, and you are the one who will continue breathing life into all that you have made. God, we express our deepest gratitude for that eternal love that you have committed to. We pray for people, God, your creation, people that you love, for your love is not limited to those who have a belief system that is different from another. Your love is that which embraces everything created. And God, we pray for people throughout this world who suffer, for people who are in harm's way with war, for the people of Gaza and Israel, for the people in Syria, in Lebanon, Afghanistan, Iraq, and so many other places. God, we pray that you will find a way to bring peace, but may we also be useful tools that makes peace possible. May we Christians be unafraid to voice the possibilities that you present to us. May we declare that you are a God who is making this world into something wonderful and is not to be destroyed. God, we pray for those among us who are ill, for those who are facing ill times within their lives, who are facing the fear of the end of life. We ask that you will be not only with them, but with all of us who love and care for them. We ask you to be with the people who selflessly give themselves to help each other, to the linemen who have worked diligently throughout these weeks following the horrors of the storm, who are exhausted. Be with them. To those of us who wonder what way we can possibly help, allow us to find ways, sometimes as simple as giving some resources to another. God, we are prayerful of the future of this congregation and all the church. As this congregation enters into a brand new era, a brand new exciting time, may the future be grand, may it be exciting, and may the ministries and the lives affected by what will happen in the years to come be something that helps you in the creating of the world that you will have us be. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may we pass the peace to one another.
Peace, darling.
Send your email and we'll talk about it. Carl, peace to Peace to you.
Peace congregation.
I just heard about Bob. That he was in the hospital. He is? Okay. Peace to you, David.
Are you ready?
With your blessing, fill us
with joy and peace.
Let us each your love possessing.
triumph in redeeming grace. O refresh us, O refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. We give thanks and adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, ever faithful, to the truth may we bow. So that when your love shall call us, from the world away, fear of death shall not appall us. Glad your summons to obey.
And now, may the peace of our God be with us for today, tomorrow, and all the days that follow. But may we also go from here knowing that our faithfulness is going to require some help. And the help that we will have is available, never ending. And that help is to know this: we are now, and we will be forever, loved. Go in love. Go in peace.